Everyone, my name is William Porter, and welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. I'd like to give props to Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network, and this is another interview session. We have with us today Lou Everett and Sherry McManus, and they're going to come to us and talk to us about their business and some other things. So how are you all doing today?
Doing great. Yeah, for a Monday, right? Doing Monday. Good. Yeah, we're doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Well, you know, since we had our last interview, a lot has happened, primarily at the coronavirus, and we've had an election, as well as social unrest and injustice and all these kinds of things have been going on. So a lot has been happening, and we've been shut down, as you know, since what, mid-March? So things have been happening, and I can imagine that it's really significant as far as any entrepreneur is concerned. It would have potentially devastating effects, which it has had for some entrepreneurs, small businesses. So how has that affected you all in your business?
Well, the good thing is that, you know, being leaders and being in this space, to be honest, we were born for this. Mm-hmm. We are the solid object while everybody else is trying to figure things out or trying to adjust whatever that they need to do so they can move forward. And really for Lou and I, we've really kind of taken this opportunity ever since the pandemic to really turn up the dial a little bit, to really step forth and shine and to be that support, be the leaders that mm-hmm. people can look at and say, oh, okay, there's hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. So I think that's in a nutshell, really has done well in allowing us to really step forth and to really help as many people as possible.
And it fits right into kind of what we're going to talk about today, that it's about perception. And it's a terrible situation that many things, not just COVID-19 and the pandemic there, but as you mentioned, a lot of racial injustice rearing its ugly head once again. And that is, those are topics that as leaders, right, we should be prepared. We should be up to this point in our careers and in our life as a real genuine leader. This is what we prepare for. We prepare for years for crisis so that we can then step up and take on that responsibility that we have assumed as leaders to help the community around us to flourish through crisis and to find ways through it. And that's exactly what Sherry and I did. We kind of took it back to kind of looked at it from a different perspective and said, you know, it's time for us now to really give as much as we can to those in our circle of influence, but also those that may not know who we are, so they can say, hey, there actually is an avenue for us to go to find some clarity in what is going on.
Well, I think you're right. Even though times are bad for a lot of people, on the other hand, it gives opportunity for others to shine and to display whatever they have to render to others trying to make it. And so it's an opportunity, especially for entrepreneurs.
Agreed.
So I think you all are doing that. And as a matter of fact, tell us a little bit about what you do as far as your business is concerned.
Well, that is pretty much what we do. We are, our focus and our mission is to transform today's leaders. And the question generally comes up is, well, what do you classify as a leader? And it is anyone in our community that has taken on the responsibility to lead people in whatever fashion and capacity that might be. Our big focus is on small, medium-sized businesses. where we are the go-to for developing, redeveloping their leadership structure and how it is that their leaders are. What are they learning? Whether they're new leaders or they're in the C-suite and they've been an executive and they're realizing the changes and the turnover that might exist in their company and cannot figure out why. And we are the go-to to help them identify where those opportunities are and to help strengthen, re-strengthen that leadership focus and what leadership really means. And when it comes down to it, it's influence. It's how we influence, impact those that we lead. So that is our sweet spot. We love to be able to see the results of a leader that says, you know, I really need to find out and figure out what I need to do to make my team be more productive because what I'm doing is not working. Because when you can then see it from that perspective as a leader, that is your responsibility to see it that way. And it is your role to then make those adjustments and changes in you first. And that's where we come in to help give that guidance and necessary training to develop those people.
Well, like I mentioned to both of you earlier, what I'd like to accomplish in this particular interview is to get a better understanding of, I don't know whether you would call him a mentor or not, but I've read Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Effective People. Mm-hmm. That's the title of it. And it was probably the best self-help book that I read back, I think it's been, about 12, 15 years ago since I read the book.
Right.
And I want you all to make some comments on it. I don't know how you all are familiar with self-help literature, and I'd like for you to make some comments on that. But before we do that, let me just give you the list of these habits that Covey talks about. Number one is to be proactive. Two, begin with the end in mind. Three, putting first things first. Four, think win-win. Five, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Six, synergize. And seven, sharpening the saw. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe you all know those by heart. I have to read them. But each one of them says something in particular to me as far as how I can progress my business. And I think it could help a lot of people. So I'd like for you all to elaborate on that. Now, I attended a webinar earlier, I think it was last week, a couple of weeks ago, that you all gave. And you referenced Napoleon Hill and his book, Think and Grow Rich. And it's also a very good book. Let me ask you this. What do you find so fascinating about this particular book? Because you went into a lot of detail in that webinar referencing Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because anyone who may not have heard of that book by Napoleon Hill, when you listen to the title of it, right, Think and Grow Rich, we have this perception in our mind immediately before we really know what it's about, that it's focusing on money. And that is, while that has a lot to do with perception and how you view things, and that can lead that way, but that's really not what it's about. Growing rich in our thinking, right? And so I find that Sherry and I went through, we may have done it twice, but we went through a book study, a really deep dive kind of course into Think and Grow Rich from one of our mentors, Paul Martinelli. And it's a very deep book. It's not something that, I mean, you can easily read it in one sitting, but it's not one you want to do that in because there's a lot to think about. And the biggest focus on in this book, from my perspective, is perspective. It's about what we think and how we think, what we think we become, right? And what we become is completely dependent upon us. And that we fully have the potential to be the creators of that empowered future, which is a very, very just mind-blowing concept sometimes when we have to go through things like we've gone through this year, right? But it certainly does play out, and we have found it to be an extremely valuable piece of what I call, it's not just art, but it's personal growth art, it's perspective. It's one of those books that when you read it more than as every time you read it, you gather new information because of our growth. As you grow, that book will change in perception, which is impressive. So we use that book. We use Napoleon Hill's ideals a lot because they work. And when it comes down to it, outside of our faith, which we obviously have to grab a hold of and use, but we have been given the potential to be the creators of our own empowered future. And so it's what are we doing with it? And that is one of the biggest things we teach and preach on when it comes down to personal growth. What are you doing with that potential and that gift of being that creator?
Well, I like to talk about that a little bit. The theme or the topic of this webinar, which was the 5 steps to move from confusion to clarity. And especially as an entrepreneur, how important is it to get confusion, as much confusion out of our lives, personally as well as business related, and to get more clarity
in your discussion? Do you want to tackle that one?
You can tackle that one.
Right. Well, it's so to kind of, so from what I'm hearing, you're asking, why is it important for us to remove as much confusion as possible? So that we can then gain some clarity. Well, the reality of it is you have a vision. As a business owner, you have this vision of some kind. And the other reality of it is that our day-to-day routines and what it is that we do in our business, we then begin to do that on a routine basis. We begin to be consumed with things, consumed with doing things, and then we run into challenges like, why do I not have enough time? Why is it that that person is more successful than I am? Why did they say that about me? All of a sudden, we begin to get into this routine of losing perspective and falling into that, what Covey calls the personality ethic, right? Where we want something to happen fast, and we end up getting into this mindset of being reactive and not proactive. Also, as Covey mentions in one of his principles. So that's why it's important for us as business owners and just in general as people to find ways and use the resources we have, people that we know, to help gain that clarity so that we can then pull back pull back the weeds so that we can actually see through what it is that our end result is and how to get there.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned vision, because that was one of the things, and I believe it's a step. You can let me know if I'm correct or incorrect. Having vision as one of the steps of moving from the confusion to clarity. And just to migrate into the habits that Covey talked about, and I'm thinking primarily of the second one, the habit of begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And I see these two as connected. In other words, vision and Covey's second habit of begin with the end in mind. What do you feel about that?
That's true. I mean, having the end in mind, and I think that the good analogy of the maze, I think this would correlate, right?
Yeah.
Good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a good one.
We use this one a lot. Have you ever had those mazes in school?
The maze puzzles.
Yeah. And you would start course in
where it says to start.
And then you would try to focus and get to the end. And there's some blocks in there. And then you would have to kind of go back and figure out the next little little space to go to try to get to the end. Well, until a friend of mine, as I was kind of struggling for this, said, hey, you know, if you start at the end and work your way back, it's a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, duh. It seems so simple. And really, we apply that in this stage here, you know, putting the end in mind,
because
you can't get from, what did I say, there to
you can't get there from here.
Right.
You have to get here from there.
Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly it. And that's what this habit suggests, really, is that we need to begin with that. Start with that clear destination. And you see, it's a lot easier said than done, right, Dr. Porter? I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, we say you need to have a vision. Okay, well, this is the normality, though, of us as humans. We put limitations in our mind, and as from children on up, like as children, we can sit there and create such an amazing vision of a future, right? We can create all of these ideals as children, and then for some reason, as we become adults, we begin to suppress those things based a lot of times on environment and all these other variables. But by able to, as an adult, be able to see the clear destination and really envision it and feel it, then we can then make the steps that, what is it that got us there? What is it that we have to do to get there? Now we've got a way to make a plan, if you will, of steps that we can take towards that right direction. But it isn't until we have that clarity of vision of where we want to be and why that we can't, it's not until that happens that we can make steps to get there. What resources to use? Who do we approach? Who do we use to get us the mentorship, coaching, training, et cetera, to get to that level?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because even as a kid, a small kid, maybe as early as four or five years old, my parents, who had limited education, didn't graduate from high school, for example, but they always talked about, or at least I heard them talk about, the fact that they wanted to make sure that I went to college and got a college education. And I had an aunt every time I saw her, and I didn't see her often, but every time I saw her, she used to say that how great I was going to be. And I was just a kid. But because she didn't get the education, I believe that she knew she could have gotten, but because of extenuating circumstances, she didn't do that. But she always instilled in me that, hey, I was going to go to college, going to do great things, and my parents did the same thing. And so I was given that vision, even I didn't know exactly what they were talking about,
right,
to some extent, at that age. But internally, I had that vision given to me, and I think that's what you're talking about. We have to know where we're going in order to get there effectively.
Yeah, it's that end result, right? It's same thing if you use GPS on your phone or in your car to arrive at a destination you've never been to before. We have that technology where we can pick up our mobile device and GPS the address so we can see where we're going. And I don't know about you, but I'll look at kind of the steps to take there, what the building look like, all of that stuff from that technology. So in my mind, I've already arrived, so that my travel is successful by following those specific steps to get there.
Exactly. And I believe the second step that Covey talks about, this begin with the end in mind, is related to the first habit, and that is being proactive.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about these habits being connected to each other, being proactive and beginning with the end in mind?
Well, see, it's interesting because, and I thought in the book, there's this diagram on that chapter that he talks about proactive focus versus reactive focus in that lesson. And it's interesting when you really look at the perception of how he explains it, because you've got both proactive and reactive focus, both have a circle of concern, and in the center, a circle of influence. And based upon which direction we go, if we're more of a reactive person, which is the negative energy, you know, the negative things, being reactive as opposed to being proactive. So, you know, things like hey, I control my own feelings, right? That's proactive. You know what? I can I have control over how I respond to a situation, as opposed to reactive, where, man, that makes me extremely angry. So now you're now being reactive and not controlling those that specific language that you might be using. And what ends up happening there in the being proactive piece, is if you're being reactive, it shrinks your circle of influence. And that circle of influence is your are the people that you need to be successful to attain that vision that you have. Because we all need people. And by being reactive, we shrink that circle of influence, as opposed to being proactive, where it expands it, because we're positive. We're giving out those positive vibes. We're there doing it for the right reason, for the right purpose. So that's the proactive piece. And by doing that, again, you're 100% right, Dr. Porter. It connects directly to beginning with that end in mind. Because if we have the clarity of that vision, and we have the clarity of where we're going to be, and we understand that we've got to be proactive in our measures, in our language, in our behavior, in our actions towards other people, that's what's going to get us there, because we need that circle of influence to get us there. There's not one person I've ever met in my life that got to the top on their own. They haven't. We need that. And so that is my view of how those two things connect. With a pretty good stronghold.
And this actually can correlate to an organization, no matter how big or small, that we find that they actually are more reactive than they are proactive. Mm-hmm. And if you see some of the successful organizations out there, again, doesn't matter how big or small, it's still the foundation of this perception, right? If they want to be proactive and being a people-centric environment, they're going to take the steps to be like, what can I do? What can I do to help my employees? What can I do so I can equip them properly? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's too many organizations that are reactive, that unfortunately already have a toxic work environment, and then there's the high turnover rate or miscommunication and, you know, that angst, all this negative type that we mm-hmm. see and that we know that that's out there. You can't deny that.
Right. That's the resultative, right? Of that reactive approach.
Right.
And it certainly does cause some challenges there. That's a good point.
You know, I was going to mention as well the more short-term aspect of the relationship between these two habits, being proactive and beginning with the end in mind. And I gave the example of my parents instilling in me that I was going to go to college and do something that they never had an opportunity to do. And subconsciously, I believe that stuck in my mind all through grade school and high school. And I attained that goal of going to college and doing other things. But it also works with respect to the day-to-day aspects of your activity. For example, I have a notepad close to me at all times, and what I do at the beginning of the day, actually I do it the day before, is jot down the things that I want to accomplish that day, and I do it hour by hour. Some things are more of a priority than others, and I indicate that, and at the end of the day, I'm able to check things off, the things that I actually did accomplish that day, and right. It gives me some kind of feeling of accomplishment, and to the point where I'm able to go to the next day and succeed, even though I may not have achieved everything. But at least the major things, I want to make sure that I achieve. As I mentioned earlier, I have a doctor's appointment after this interview. That's mm-hmm. a major item that I want to achieve today. But yeah. There are other things that are lesser of importance that if you don't achieve those things, it's great. Or at least it's not that much of a hindrance if you don't complete the lesser things in your life. But again, that's very great. Well, listen, we're going to go on a short break, and we're going to return. And when we return, we're going to start to talk about habit number 3, actually, and then move on to 4. I'm sure we won't finish all of these during this particular segment, but we'll finish all of Covey's habits in a second part to this interview. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're here with Lou Everett from the Lou Everett Group, and his wife, Sherry McManus, are proud business owners here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And I'm not sure whether you do business in places beyond the Raleigh-Durham area. I don't know. What is the extent of your business? Basically, your clients are from the Raleigh-Durham in the Piedmont area of North Carolina, or is it more extensive?
Well, we're talking about a vision before, right? And one of our visions have been to be global and to be able to impact the world. We are very, very, very blessed to actually have clients and worked with other people and other companies in all parts of the world. We've partnered with other people from Europe and other areas. We've luckily now with this year with the whole virtual perspective, it has been and that's another perception that we've been able to see. Our perspective is this opens up another gateway for people to for us to reach out and impact other people. So we're global. Yes, we have, of course, the majority of our business is North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, that region right now, but we have reached across country, across other countries. And so that's a big blessing for us.
Well, that's great. You know, I mentioned before we went on break, the fact that I have a little notepad and I jot down things that I want to get done. And, that is, in my mind at least, clearly within the realm of Covey's third habit, putting first things first. In other words, you have to prioritize, I believe, the things that you want to get done. And that way you will get those things done. Well, let me ask you something else as far as being a business person. How often do you have these webinars, the webinar that I attended? I don't know, you may have something else in mind within the next few days or weeks. How often do you schedule those things?
We generally schedule at least one webinar a month up until right about the holiday season. Just to, you know, so then during this time is when we assist other groups to go in and do some speaking engagements and support our chamber and do some sponsoring, things like that, that still give back to people. But the webinars, we generally will start those back up in January, and we'll have those at least once a month. There are times when we do them more than once a month when we do those types of webinars. Next year, we're actually going to be spearheading, actually, we'll probably be seeing it soon. We're spearheading a program called Empowerment Leadership. That Empowerment Leadership program is based on a book that I'm writing that's going to be published, ideally, all goes well, July of next year. And that program has a lot of this involved in it, on being a leader with a leader of influence as opposed to a leader of position. So there's going to be a lot of that coming out next year as well. So look for that.
Well, as you know, speaking of being an author, as you know, I'm an author. I write books about people's experiences that they have from time to time that are not ordinary, but extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I try to encourage people to write and to communicate their experiences to others, because we all have experiences, right? But it's a matter of documenting those experiences in some way so that our children, grandchildren, and others can take advantage of whatever we've experienced. So I want to ask you, what would your advice be to an up-and-coming author to get started, number one, and secondly, to kind of propel themselves in this particular area if this is something that they would want to do, because you do have to want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. And that's it's interesting how this, our conversation's going, because this leads right into, it kind of fits right into that first things first piece, because one of the part of that habit that Covey mentioned is we have to, the first thing we have to do in order to really know what to do first is to determine what our values are, mm-hmm. right? Determine what it is that, why is it that we want to write, or why is it that we want to speak, or why is it that we want to help coach other people? What are those values? And by understanding what it is that we're wanting to achieve with those values, you see, once you do that, then now it's time to go after those goals. And by setting those priorities for each day, and obviously as Kobe goes through the book, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit more, but goes to those four quadrants. But even outside of that scientific approach, we have to have those values first. What is our purpose? What is our why? Why do we want to write this book? I'm sure this is what you went through, right? For each one. And I love your books, by the way. We go back a ways now, and I absolutely enjoy them. And it's even better when you talk about them, like in your book club. I think that's even better yet. So you give me a lot of inspiration and ideas that way too. But that is really the thing that I feel that is number one. Telling your own story sometimes is not, you have to cut through some of the self-limiting belief. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right? Is my story really something people want to hear? That's always a question, right?
And everybody does, you know, no matter how you think it, how big or small it may be, most people think the opposite is small. It's like, oh, it's just my little story. But no, it's going to help someone else and be relatable and be like, wow, I've been there too. Mm-hmm. And it really has a sense of, you know what, I'm not alone.
Right.
And the more you open up to your story, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. you'll be surprised of the support, and you'll be surprised that indirectly you'll be helping someone else. So right. It's like, I do the present analogy. We like to use this. You have your story, you have your knowledge, you've done your own coping methods, let's say, to work with it, work through it, gain resilience out of it. So why not share that? It's like being a present and having it all nice and pretty,
wrapped in a bow,
everything, and then not sharing it.
Giving it to the person that was intended to. Yeah. Holding back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sherry, because next week we'll be talking about just that, something that you went through in the fairly recent past, and we're going to be doing that. And tying that to the fourth habit of Covey's, that is think win-win. And we'll see how that habit is and was related to your situation. So I'd like to thank both of you for being with us today. Mm-hmm. And again, we're going to be back next week and complete, hopefully, the remaining four habits, which might be a challenge. I think I talked to you all earlier about that. But at least we'll get started going there. Give us your contact information before we leave.
Absolutely. Well, you go to LouEverettGroup.com. That's a quick, easy way. You could go to Google and type in the Lou Everett Group, and you'll get a hold of us all different ways. You can email us right from the website. So and social, we're everywhere. Mm-hmm. So just look up the Lou Everett Group and connect. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. As I mentioned, I am an author, and I've written, actually I had a book signing just a few weeks ago, and you mentioned the book club, and so grateful that you all were able to come to the first inaugural book club, and we're going to have another one coming up. But anyway, anybody would like to know more about what I do as far as the book club, being an author, and the books I've written, just go to my website, leadportallife.com. You get all the information that you need. Well, that's all for today. And I'd like to say that whatever you might be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.